never has bothered me when the Lord laid something upon me. If I preached it yesterday and the Lord gives me that scripture again, I'll still read it because He may lead me a total different direction than what it went before. But if you'd like to read with us in Exodus, the third chapter, and we're going to be reading the 13th and 14th verse, then listen to this scripture, and then there's a whole bunch of other places where this would be tied into, but I want you to pay attention to this, and then see just what God is to you. In the 13th verse, and Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shall ye say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And, you know, here God saying, I am that I am. And you wonder, why would it be worded like that? Well, you know, the children of Israel, they put so much faith and trust in Abraham. And if you go back and you go reading and searching, you'll find there's a lot of places where God spoke to his people and he said, I am. And he would go and tell them something. And you'll find one place he said, I am thy shield. The God, the Lord God Almighty, and another, the God of Abraham. And on another place, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac. To Jacob he said, the God of Bethel, I am God, the God of thy father. Now here in what we read to you, he said, I am that I am. And you and I today, we can read all that the Bible has to say about God. And, you know, there he said, I am God, the God of thy father. You and I, we can hear of all that people has to say about God to the world. But there's only one that is the God. And you and I, as we read and listen, to hear in what Moses said when he went to the children of Israel to tell them that, all they had to do is go back and read in their scripture that they had in that law, and they would see that there was an I am there. And he's saying, in other words, I'm that I am that they've already heard about. I'm the one that's already reached out into them. I'm the one that was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I'm your God. If you want to believe, well, you and I today, it's so wonderful to read these things back there in the Old Testament of what God was. And hear God still speak today unto us and know that He is God. And besides Him, there is none other. And each and every one of us, we can think for just a little bit of just what God is to us. And you know, to some people, He can be the God that supplied them a new car. Or He can be a God that give them a new house. Or He can be this, or He can be that.
But all of those things are small in comparison to the God that can forgive and save. You know, there's a lot of rich people in the world that have enough money, they could give you a house. There's a lot of people could give you a brand new car. They could give you all the things. Here it is, five of wills that you can desire. But there's no one but that great I am that can give you salvation, forgiveness of your sin, put within you that new spirit, that new life within you. There's none other that can do that. Only the true and the living God. That's why when you begin to talk about it, you can find out in just a little while if somebody really knows God or not. Why? Because if they know it, they can say to you, God is my best friend. God is the one that I can go upon when I'm in trouble, when I need something. Even if it's somebody to come by and help me through my hell, God's the one that's able to do that. Even if it's somebody to wake you up in the middle of the night, give you the answer of how to do a stairway. That's my God. He cares enough about me to answer the little thing here in his life
that people think, well, just go and hire somebody to do it. But you know, it's so wonderful when God, the God, cares enough about it to supply even that. And you know, you and I, God is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. And you know, when I was growing up, and I've mentioned this to my grandchildren, especially sometimes when they're out there arguing and fussing with one another, I've mentioned to them, you're going to be brothers and sisters for life, and you need to overcome these things so you'll have that friendship and that relationship for life. But you know, when the Bible says he sticks closer than a brother, you know, when I was growing up, that meant something to me. But you know, after I got grown, I found there's problems in life that can separate you from your brother. That real close bond is not there. But oh, how wonderful it is to know that God's there, even closer than that brother at all times. Why? There has never been a time since I left home that if I woke up in the night that I could talk to my brother. When we was kids growing up, Mom used to laugh about it, said me and him would talk in our sleep and we'd talk back and forth to each other, but when we woke up we didn't know nothing about it. But Mom and Dad thought that was funny. We were carrying on a conversation. Of course, it's sort of broken English, the way you talk in your sleep, but we would one would say something, the other would say something, and they laughed about it a lot. But when I woke up, I didn't know that it took place. You know, I woke up in the night, waking myself up, praying and talking to God. It's so wonderful to know God that it's an automatic thing. When something goes wrong, the word just come out of prayer to God. That's wonderful. To where that's the natural thing. And then when you see the world in all their trouble and something go wrong, the first thing out of their mouth is some curse words. Why? Because that's their life. You and I as a Christian, what comes out of our mouth first should be praise unto God. It should be that the world can see makes a difference. You know, I've had people to say, well, if you curse it real good, that'd make it feel better. That never felt made anything feel better. But I have actually prayed about a hurt, and in just a little bit, it was over with. God's able to work miracles. He's able to give you the strength to get the job done. It just amazes what God can do when you call upon Him. Why? Because coming back here to this scripture, early in the Bible, God set it down so many of you would know there is but one God to call upon. And back there in Genesis, there in the beginning when He made earth and all of it, there was only one God that could do that. You and I today, isn't it wonderful to know He's not a slave, He's not God tired, He's not God old, He's still just as fresh and new today as He was that day that He spoke this world into existence. God's not changing, He's not getting older with age. I was trying, I can remember back when I was young, when I first got to know the Lord, I was doubting upon it. I can work and do more than me and them look stronger and more able to play. Why? Before it was something I enjoyed doing. But the years are too old. The body no longer able to do that. I have pains and enjoyed things that hurt. Things I can't do. I can't get down and work like I used to. I can't stretch out and work out like I used to. They're so limited. But my God is not changed. He's still the same. When I call upon Him, the body might be frail, but I'm still calling upon the God of all God, the one that made everything that we can see. And you and I today, He's not about to change. And if you're waiting for God to fail, your life will be over and you'll have been in hell or the lake of fire for 10,000 years and begin to realize God is never going to change. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, if it was possible for man to have a picture of God when He spoke to Christ and said, "Let us make man." If we could have had a picture of Him on that day and have a picture of Him now, you would know the difference. There's no change that's taking place. Me and you, this world, you know, scientists will tell you, I don't know how vast that is, but they will tell you how this world is changing by wind and water, the erosion. And you know, when we moved where we live now, the driveway going into our house, there's a little branch that comes down there. And when we moved there, just bare above where the road, where we cross, is a little waterfall coming down through there in some rocks. And that does not run real wild down through there all the time. Sometimes when it rains hard, it gets up pretty big. But it's just a little trickling stream. Sometimes even totally dried up. But you, if you go there where that was, just bare above where the cars crossed, now that fall is about 10 feet back up that ditch. And that's only in 15 years. So this world has changed a whole lot from when God created it and put it here. Through the wind, the rain, all the events have taken place, the earthquakes, everything. But God is still the same. Me and you, we change. You know, I've noticed on some of you all that age is starting to show. There's some wrinkles that's coming. As the old saying goes, some of the men's chest has fell and their belt's holding it up. And you know, I don't notice that as much about me as I do you. I get in front of a mirror and sometimes my eyes wonder who it is I'm looking at. Because you know, when I get up of a morning, before I move into bed, sometimes I think of all I want to do that day. And by the time I go getting out of bed, I realize all the things that still hurts that I'm not going to be able to accomplish. But you know, when I get on my knees to pray, I thank God. God don't look down and say, "You're old. Your prayers can't accomplish what they used to." That has no bearing whatsoever. Faith still moves mountains. A prayer from a feeble man does not have to be a feeble prayer. It can be a prayer of strength that surpasses any strength that man could ever put forth. You know, prayer of faith. Man cannot measure what it can accomplish. Cassie and me was having a talk. About some prayers. Things that we needed to pray. And it was just a matter of days the prayers were answered. You and I, when we ask something of God, get up from there looking for it. Why? Because if you pray it and you believe it, look for it. Because the answer's on the way. And I'm so thankful to God. When our children are in trouble, I don't have to go somewhere or another and say, "Will you pray for my kids?" I can call upon God and know Father shutting it down. He's going to answer. He's going to hear the prayer. I don't understand sometimes how he does it so fast, but I don't live in it. When I ask it, though it might seem impossible, I know God is not bound by the rules of man. God's able to do so whatever it takes. I can show you in the Bible. Man will tell you, Satan will tell you, he can't have it. But where a man prays a prayer, and God has it, see you on the sun now, you're 4 10 degrees, or backward, he said it's not a ring, you're 4 10, but you go backward 10, God. Because he's not slack concerning the promises that he's made to us. And me and you, if we've got things that look impossible, then ask it of a God who can do the impossible. Now, if you want something done that I can do for you, well, you could go and pray to all these other things that people call God, and it might happen for you, because somebody might just hear and feel sorry for you and do it. But if you're praying for that man can't do, that it takes a God, then don't waste your breath praying to anything other than the true and living God. And if it takes that to get the things answered that are impossible, then why pray to anything else but God at all times? You know, I had a woman to tell me that she would go anytime she needed something, she'd go and she would talk to the priest. And he could pray for her, or he could do this, he could do that. You know, Christ died to become our high priest. He died to be our mediator between us and God the Father. So why do you need to go to anybody else? You know, if you've done something that God is dealing with you about, don't come and tell me, unless God just tells you to. Don't come and tell me. I don't have the power to forgive you. If there's something bothering you, you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to pray with you, and you don't even have to tell me what it is. But confessing to me don't do you any good. I can't forgive you. God didn't give me that responsibility. He just told me to preach and tell you what He wants you to hear, what He wants me to speak to you. And when God deals with you about something, you talk to God about it. Get on your knees and ask God to forgive you. Because you didn't do the wrong to me. Even if you said something about me that is wrong, it makes no difference. I can forgive you, or I don't have to forgive you. If I choose to be angry with you, I can take it to my grave and stand before God guilty of not having a forgiven heart. But whether you said it about me, about anybody else, or whatever, you're going to have to pray and ask God to forgive you. And if God shows you that you've done something wrong to somebody, and you go and ask them to forgive you, if they won't forgive you, that don't mean you can't be forgiven from God. All of us make mistakes. And I'm so thankful God is a forgiving God, and when we call upon Him, we can find that forgiveness. You know, sin unprayed for will send us to hell. But if the Bible said, keep yourselves unspotted from the world, if God reveals something to us that's wrong, we better get on our knees and pray. There you'll find God proved Himself time and time and time again to the children of Israel. There He brought them out of Egypt. Then after He had done, brought them out, and Pharaoh come after them, He proved Himself. You know, that's something, all those people that seen all that God did, how He parted that Red Sea and they walked through it. Why, when they come to that promised land, they couldn't believe in what God said? You know, I just can't get that through my mind. And then, God can ask something of us, like, go preach my word. Stand and testify. Get up and sing. Go witness to that person. And we'll say, Lord, another one of them is better qualified than me. Let them go. Are we any better than the children of Israel? Doubt is still sin, isn't it? It kept them out of the promised land. Me and you, it will do the same for us unless we come willing to obey the voice of the Lord. While we get some song to sing, please, I beg you, know that you've got a God that is listening, ready to hear and to answer when you call upon Him. Not just one of the gods, the God, the only God. You know, it isn't like we've got 15 or 20 gods and all these different ways to go to heaven or to go to these different gods or whatever. We've got one God. And we've only got one way to get there. And Christ is that way. And there is no other place to go to be in the presence of God when we die but to heaven. And there's no way to get there except through Christ. And any other way we're going is going to end up in hell and destruction. And, you know, the Bible speaks about there's a broad way, and there's a straight and narrow way, and there's a seam right way. And I'm afraid the world's in that seam right way today. But what seems right to man is not right to God. That's why he said it's a straight and a narrow way. Will you come while we sing? It's your choice today whether you want to serve God or not. Each and every one of us, he said, I stand at the door and knock. If you open unto me, I'll come in. It's up to you whether you open that door. I can remember years ago my dad giving a picture to a church of Christ standing at Hardin door knocking. There was no knob on that door, no way to open it from the outside. It could only be opened from the inside. You and I, God's not going to force his way in. We must open that door and invite him in. If you want to be a Christian, you've got to open that door and say, Lord, come in. Lord, forgive me of my sin and come in and dwell with me. And he will. While we sing this verse, will you come?